to stop fucking for a second?
Whoa, that's a nice intro. Hello, hello.
Oh, it's already on?
Yeah.
Are we recording?
We're not prepared.
No. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Justine.
I'm Scott.
And you're listening to It's About Damn Crime, episode 70?
Yeah, there we go. Oh, I was going to say if you remembered.
Yeah,
you just asked 70. Me 1 minute ago.
If you're a newcomer, welcome. If you're
an old comer,
welcome back. Exactly. If you're
an old comer.
Okay. Whatever. We're going to do a disclaimer right now. Yeah. Scott is residual drunk from last night.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
And should be fun.
If you guys don't know what our podcast is about, we primarily focus on cases featuring people of color. And we save some pretty off-the-wall shit. So if you get, you know, if you're like easily offended, thanks for coming, but we might not be your cup of tea.
And if you leave a review, I'm gonna find you.
I mean, we want them to leave reviews. You mean specifically 1-star reviews?
The ones that are offended and leave a shit review, I will find you. I'm gonna find your place of employment.
Justine is
a
very
good detective. And I'm gonna call your fucking job and I'm gonna complain about you. Okay?
Oh, dang.
So you've been warned.
You're so salty.
I'm mad about it. You know?
Hey man, we're not gonna be everybody's cup of tea. It's fine, whatever.
Also, this is free entertainment, so if you don't like it, piss off. Oh, that was minor. Who says piss off?
You're what?
What country says piss off?
Piss off.
Yeah.
England.
The British.
Thank you.
All right. Anything new?
Oh, I have a dating update.
But that's going to be at the end, right?
Yeah. We'll bring it to the end.
Somebody dumped a clip and Justine's pregnant.
Oh, shit.
Oh, dang. That's Justine's worst nightmare.
Now we have to end this podcast because...
Could you imagine Justine being pregnant?
Can you imagine Justine being a mom?
Not at all.
No.
Man.
Not at all. Scott and I went to Universal Studios.
Oh, yeah.
And Museum of Death. Which Scott didn't really like too much.
I heard that wasn't really your cup of tea.
No.
Nope. I get queasy when I look at...
dead bodies and...
yeah. Like festering bodies and shit. It's disgusting.
Yeah. There was like a series of pictures of like car accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that... like the pictures of their dead bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's like, this is why I tell you to not drink and drive.
Hey, man.
You need to start lifting. I'm like, okay.
Lifting?
Take it up. Not like that. I mean,
I was like, what?
L-Y-F-T-I-N-G. Like, lift.
Hey, man, that coroner's class fucked me up.
Yeah. So,
That's why they make you take it.
And they were showing, like...
mission accomplished.
They were showing, at the end, there was a video of an autopsy going on. And so all these... there's like three coroners and they were going through the body and just like nonchalant, just taking all the guts out, all the organs.
Dude, they took the brain out and straight up sliced it into it, like filleted it.
Yeah.
You gotta be a special kind of person.
Yeah.
Do they make good money?
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I feel like you have to make good money to
do all that. Like, you would have to be a special kind of person.
Yeah.
Like, no amount of money in the world would ever make me slice into someone's brain.
Yeah. I mean, I would
do it for a certain amount of money, but it would make me sick.
But it was fascinating. I liked it. So if you guys are ever in the Hollywood area in California,
it's definitely interesting. Yeah. Like, I don't want to knock it. It was definitely cool. It's just, I'm not the type of person.
I liked it.
You fucking would. Yeah. She was telling me about it. I was like, yeah, I don't really think I need to ever go there.
Yeah.
It's not really my deal.
I
accidentally stumble across a dead person's photo. I can't think of what the fuck it's called right now. This is a true crime podcast. I don't know any terminology right now.
A crime scene photo?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm like, I don't like to see it.
Yeah.
Especially
car crashes when they're so gnarly. Like, people get fucking mutilated in car crashes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had a good time at Universal Studios. That was fun. I hadn't been there since I was a kid. So... it was like a nice nostalgic.
Nice little dip into nostalgia.
Yeah.
I haven't been there since before the Jurassic Park ride.
Which is weird.
And we used to go to theme parks all the time when I was a kid, like Six Flags, Disneyland. Man, I swear, like once every few months. And for some reason, we just never hit Universal Studios. And now I finally got to hit the Jurassic Park ride before it's taken away.
Yeah.
Mission. I'm good.
I mean, the surprise was spoiled for you at the end, which kind of ticked me off, but...
They had, like, all the rafts were, like, bumping into each other. So, like, you see the people ahead of you go down the chute or whatever with the T-Rex. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, well, I already know what's coming up, I guess.
Yeah, that sucks. But, and Scott's favorite ride was the studio tour.
That's the best ride.
Because you got to sit down for an hour.
I was poo-pooing it. She wanted to go, and I was like, this is lame. I don't want to do this. And then we did it, and it was the dopest thing in the entire park.
So fun.
Yeah.
They cool. do the. We have to go during Halloween, because they do the Horror Nights, and they do that tour, but you get off the trams, and you walk you walk through the Psycho House. You, like, walk around it through that plane crash. Mm-hmm. You walk through there and then into Whoville, and everything's like done up.
That's so cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We should totally go there for Hollywood Horror
Nights.
Yeah,
so much fun.
All right.
We'll have a meetup, guys.
Yeah.
No. Gabby, we'll see you there.
All right. So before we get started into our episode, we want to give our Patreon, our new Patreon subscribers, a shout out. So we got Taryn.
Hey, Taryn.
Hola.
We got Allison.
Allison.
Allison. What movie is that from? Oh, my
God. Fuck if I know.
Oh, my God. I forget. Okay, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Are you going to say hi, Scott?
Hello.
Ari.
Hello. Hey, Ari.
What's up, Ari?
Kari.
Kari.
Who update her?
Ari Kari?
No. Kari, you said your name wrong. Are you Carrie? What are we doing here?
Carrie or Kari? But
Carrie. Just say it really fast. She doesn't know we're fucking up.
Probably Carrie. You're putting too much thought into it.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure it's Carrie.
And Lori.
Hey, Lori.
What the hell? You guys, just seeing on our phone.
No, I was like looking at the Patreon. Look what it keeps doing.
Oh, that's weird. It's like sticky.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's so weird.
It was making my eyes hurt, and I had to keep doing it because it made my eyes hurt.
Okay, so Lori.
Okay, Lori. Hey, Lori.
Lori.
And Kylie.
Hey, Kylie.
Kylie. I was going to say all the names.
I'm done with you.
Muted emotion.
Thank you all
for either A, upgrading, or B, joining.
Yes.
Yeah. We appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
We appreciate it much.
We know Allison.
Allison.
I sing karaoke with Allison.
What? Oh, you did.
I did.
What is that damn movie?
Oh, shit, we did.
I think everybody's like yelling at me right now. Like, it's this.
Dude,
it's the one.
Who doesn't like karaoke? I don't get it.
I don't know, dude. I gotta be real drunk to do it, but I'll do it.
Nah.
It's that movie with Kirsten Dunst.
Dude, that shit's sober.
And Shane West.
Yes.
Get over it. Cisco was in it.
Oh, geez.
You guys ever seen that movie? No, Get Over It?
I don't remember what that is.
Okay.
Cut that all out. We lost all our listeners in the last 2 minutes.
Okay, are we ready to get started?
Yep.
In Rome, Italy. Just kidding. In Rome. Wait, is Rome in Italy? Did I get that wrong?
No, you're good.
In Rome, Georgia, on November 15th, 2005, a local man, let's just call him James, because that might be his name, it might not. We can't confirm that.
We're not really sure.
We're not really sure if that's his real name or not. So anyways, James was heading home from a hunting trip when he had a pee-pee really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So he pulled off onto a deserted road.
Mm-hmm. To go pee-pee in the wee-wee
To go pee-pee in the yep. And saw what he thought was a man.
This guy's going to be so much fun on this one.
James saw what he thought was a mannequin, but he also thought that maybe it could be an actual person. So he jumped in his truck and raced home and called...
911!
Ghostbusters.
Called his cousin.
Oh.
Who was a local EMT worker. So we're not exactly sure what the cousin said. Mm-hmm. Well, nothing too helpful, we guess.
Yeah. You know?
Because 7 hours later, James called the police and, he finally called the police 7 hours later and reported the mannequin who could be a body.
But maybe just a mannequin.
But maybe just maybe a body. Oh, yeah.
When investigators arrived at the scene, they found the body of a black female on her back. Her hands were tied above her head with a blue cloth. Her skull had been fractured so badly, detectives could see the inside of her head.
Damn.
And a 20-pound slate rock was located next to her body, covered in
blood. 20 pounds? Mm-hmm. Damn.
It was a brutal death, and unfortunately, the victim didn't have ID on her, so police had no idea who she was or who her killer could have been.
So police started checking local surveillance cameras, and they started issuing press releases in the newspapers and on local news. The governor granted some reward money for anyone with information, but still no one came forward and said anything. Mm-hmm. That is until a young man contacted the police and told them that he thought he knew who the victim was. And the police were like, great, who is she? And then the young man was like, I think it's my mom.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, it sucks. So the young man was asked to identify the body and confirmed that the victim was in fact his mother, who turned out to be 44-year-old Susan Dolores Underwood Christian, a.k.a. Miss Molly, mm-hmm. which that is a name that everyone knew her by. So we're just going to call her Miss Molly from now on.
Yes. Also, that other name was very long.
You didn't want to say Susan Dolores Underwood Christian?
No.
The whole time?
Guys, a scam likely is calling me. Get out of here. Okay.
Dude, could you imagine having to go to the corner and having to identify your
parent?
Yeah. That's a bummer.
I imagine she was missing for a few days, and then when the news started getting out, he was like, oh my God. And I know in your mind you're thinking, please don't let it bleed. Please don't let it bleed. Blee.
Yeah,
that's fine. And then you go, and sure enough. And then you have to identify your mother whose head got crushed in.
Yeah.
Especially when it's so gruesome. You gotta
see your mom like that?
Yeah.
That's horrible.
And now that the police knew who the victim was, they needed to find the piece of shit who murdered her. And where's the first place you start in an investigation?
Where?
Significant other.
Generally, yes. But in this case, it was the person who found the body.
Yep.
Right? Because it's like she was off in this rural road and there were some fishy things.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, you said rural. Rural.
Ugh, I know.
I can't even say
That's
it.
Fine. You know, I've been working on it.
I didn't.
I've been practicing in my spare time.
Hey, you said rural correctly.
Okay, so we're going to talk about James again and his whole story.
Mm-hmm.
So James said that he pulled off the highway to take a piss because he had to go real bad.
Real bad.
Real, real bad. But what he didn't say earlier was, or I'm sorry, what he didn't say, we didn't say, was that he lived exactly 1 mile up the road from where Miss Molly's body was found. So why you couldn't hold it for an extra minute?
I don't know, dude.
Why didn't you just piss on the corner of your house?
That's kind of fishy. It's a little weird. Could have waited until you got home.
Yeah.
Which is like a minute away.
Also, you're a dude. You can pee anywhere.
Yeah.
Literally anywhere.
Yeah, and this thing was like off the road where it was.
Yeah.
You had to walk up like a pathway, and it was like almost like in the middle of a rock quarry. Mm-hmm. Like, it was weird. So then police located blood in the back of his truck. And sent it off for DNA testing.
God damn it, James.
They were pretty sure that this was the guy. But unless this is going to be the shortest episode ever, clearly this is not the dude.
It was him! No, it was not.
So months later, when the DNA came back, it was determined it was not human blood. Because remember, James was out hunting. It was hunting season. Oh, so. Right. I think he said they had killed a deer or something back there. So it was animal blood.
Mm-hmm.
So good old Hunter James was eliminated as a suspect.
He was eliminated.
Eliminated. And as to why it took him 7 hours to call the police, well, he had a couple bad run-ins with the police department there in Georgia, and he just didn't want to. He didn't want to get involved.
He wasn't their biggest fan.
No.
No. Yeah. With their only lead ruled out, police then hit the streets. And started talking to Miss Molly's neighbors, and it was quickly discovered that Miss Molly was a sex worker. Now, we want to throw in the detectives' names in this case. Mm-hmm. When usually we don't because there's too many names and things can get confusing, you know?
Mm-hmm. But I get confused when I listen to podcasts and there's, like, a lot of characters involved. And
yeah,
I'm like, what?
Me too.
And then sometimes their names are kind of the same, so I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't pay attention real well. Anyways.
Maybe that's just you.
Continue.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's just you, dude.
Okay, so the lead detectives on this case was Jim Moser, mm-hmm. and at the time, rookie detective Joe Kostelnik was assisting. And the reason we bring these detectives up is because, you know, so often you hear about a case involving an African-American woman who's also a sex worker, and usually the case, you know, gets pushed to the side.
Mm-hmm. It takes all the boxes of I'm going to get neglected as a case.
Yeah, yes. And it never gets solved, and really nobody seems to care too much about it, you mm-hmm. know. But these two detectives really, really cared, you know, to solve this case, and if it wasn't for their hard work, Miss Molly might have become another one of those cases you never, ever hear about.
Until we tell you them.
Yep. Exactly.
All right, so as we're saying, Miss Molly was a prostitute and lived with two other people. A man that went by the name of Dap.
D-A-P.
Not a better name.
Not Dab, like the...
Don't Dab. Yeah, but Dap.
Dab, Scott.
Ew.
My arms are too long to dab. I feel like I'm going to knock something over.
I thought you were going to hit me in the head. Yeah.
It's quite a long wingspan. Okay. And then another woman by the name of Anita Marbury. Word on the street was that Dap was Miss Molly's pimp, and he had gotten tired of her, so he called in a hit on her. But
this sounds like a movie.
This ain't a movie. No.
Called in a hit.
Yeah. That's where Chris asked rumors get started.
Who do you think he called?
His hitman.
What do you think the hitman's name is?
Hitman Joe.
Agent 47.
What is that from?
Hitman.
Hitman.
Literally, yeah.
Okay, so again, like we just said, this wasn't a movie. This wasn't actually Hitman. In reality, Dap was a drug user and had absolutely no reason to murder Miss Molly. He was extremely cooperative and answered all of the questions the detectives had and tried to be as helpful as possible. He even provided detectives with Miss Molly's cell phone.
And so once Jim and Joe, you know, the
detectives, Jim and Joe.
Yeah, the detectives had, you know, Miss Molly's phone in their hands. They knew they had her client list also in their hands. And so they started calling every single fucking number. Geez, how long do you think that took?
Dude, I don't know.
Every number in her cell phone. And when someone would answer, the detectives would simply say, like, that they had located this phone and just wanted to return it to its owner, and asked if the person on the other end knew who the cell phone belonged to. Detective Joe said that people are more likely to talk when they feel like they're being helpful, which is true.
Mm-hmm. And they did talk.
Yeah, and they did talk. So,
So Jim and Joe, as I like to call them, interviewed 425, okay, not 45, I don't know what that is.
Thank you for clarifying, by the way.
You're welcome. Of Miss Molly's Johns, and not one of them had anything bad to say about Miss Molly. I just like saying Miss Molly. None of them had a reason to murder her. They didn't really, I don't know, it was just like a very...
Like a normal conversation.
Yeah, like, just it was like, yeah, I call her sometimes, mm-hmm. and whatever, you know?
Like they were just regular Johns, yeah. Just...
Regular Jim and Joe's.
Oh my God.
All right. So the detectives, what are their names? Jim and Joe.
Jim and Joe.
We're getting frustrated. So they reached out to a GBI detective and asked him to profile their killer. And the GBI guy said, okay, let me tell you this. Your killer, he's a real control freak. And I'm going to tell you why. He didn't say it anything like that. He was very prim and proper. He had lots of, like, big fancy words to use. But I got time to sit there and write down everything he said. You know what I'm saying?
Verbatim.
Yeah. I also didn't write his name down, so sorry to you, guy. again, it was a useless suit.
Sorry, GB, GBI
that we,
guy.
That we didn't need. So what he noticed, he said what he noticed first in the crime scene photos was the fact that Miss Molly had been bound.
Yeah.
And
her hands and feet, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he said that whoever, he could see it being where someone was like a control freak and she might have like refused to be bound and then it made him snap and then he then struck her.
Mm-hmm.
Basically is what happened. And then he also said that they were probably looking for a local person because nobody else would have been able to find the spot that they were in unless they had lived there for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, nobody driving through was going to stumble upon
that area.
That whole area. Yeah,
random fucking quarry.
Yeah. So, I think that was all he said, right? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think so. That's the gist of it.
Yeah.
Then the GBI guy told
what is GBI?
It's the Georgia Bureau Investigators, something or other.
So then the GBI guy told Jim and Joe, you know, if she was a prostitute, that was her profession. And maybe it seems odd to someone like us, but that was her job. And guys, what do you discuss? Who do you discuss work with?
Your coworkers.
Coworkers. So you got to talk to her coworkers. Who are the other prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have all the information on the local Johns, and if there was anyone they were afraid of, you know, they have all that information, because mm-hmm. they all communicate with each other, obviously.
Yeah. I think they also really stay in touch with the scary Johns, right?
Yeah.
Like, this guy did something really fucking weird to me.
Yeah, like, and stay away from him.
Look for him. Yeah.
Which I feel like if you are a sex worker, you all need to have each other's back.
Yeah.
You know?
That's smart.
Because there's some crazy-ass motherfuckers out there.
Yeah.
So we're going to enter back into the story, Miss Molly's other roommate, Anita.
So Anita was also a sex worker, and when investigators sat down to ask her if Miss Molly had ever complained about a John, she said no, but she had an idea of who it might have been.
That light bulb went off.
Every time you say a John, I just think of a toilet.
Of course you do.
And they were saying that she was like actually very, very much invested in this investigation. Like, she wanted it solved because they were close.
Yeah.
It was her friend.
Yeah.
So she gave them a name, a man named Sean. And Anita had known Sean for 10 years. He was big into bondage. And he would make her tell him stories about times when she was afraid for her life. And then he would get off on it.
You jizz. What the fuck? That is so crazy. So weird. Oh, my goodness. Man,
some people are fucking weird, dude.
Dude. Like, what? Okay. Well, we'll talk about
it. Yeah.
What the fuck happened to that guy? Okay. So, she also told them that Miss Molly had recently taken Sean on as a client, and she knew that her friend would never, ever allow someone to tie her up, which was a red flag for Jim and Joe, because remember, that GBI dude just profiled the killer as a control freak.
Yup.
And if Miss Molly had shut him down, he might have felt like he was losing control and snapped.
Snapped!
Anita also told Jim and Joe that Sean drove a red truck and she thought he worked for the post office. Like Peter.
Hey, Peter. So, detectives, Jim and Joe, they started making calls to the local local police office. No, local post office.
There you go.
And
they're calling Peter.
I'm done with you. And they were like, they don't have, you know, they said that they don't have a Sean employee there. And but. And a but.
And a but.
And a but. And a but. They do, however, have a Gary Shane Abernathy.
What the? Okay. Okay. Stop.
Okay.
If you're looking for a Sean,
who's
the guy that goes, no, but we do have
because
Gary Shane.
Because they were looking for a Sean with a red truck, and they were like, no, 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 we have a Gary Shane that drives a red truck.
I guess.
Yeah. That connects the dots.
Yeah, so they were looking for that infamous red truck. I mean,
thank fuck, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
also, maybe that person should have been a detective.
Like, I remember. Well,
maybe they had bad vibes about Gary Sean.
Well, so here's what happened. Here's how they okay. So they were taking an aerial view of the post office parking lot, mm-hmm. picked out all the red trucks, and didn't they just, like, snowball? Like, didn't it just, like, oh, these are the red trucks, and they found out who the names were?
No. They called. They said that they started making calls into the post office. They were calling in favors.
Oh, like, on, oh, I was like, is I'm it pretty in sure each they, individual truck?
Yeah, no. I think they were calling, because I'm pretty sure that they can't call the post office and go, do you have a Sean that works in your building? And they could go, yeah. Like, I'm sure there's some sort of,
like, privacy
thing. But they said that they were calling in favors asking, do you have a Sean that drives a red truck there? And they were like, we have a Shane, but that doesn't mean it's the same person, right? That's when they went to down and started taking all the aerial shots
of the parking lot. Yeah. So Joe drives down to the post office parking lot, snaps a picture of Gary Shane Abernathy's truck, mm-hmm. and then shows it to Anita. Anita confirms it and is like, yep, that's Sean's truck. Mm-hmm. Which was enough information to make the detectives go, we need to talk to this fool. Mm-hmm. He's looking like he could be our guy. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, shit.
And doing detective work is so crazy. Like, the limbs that you have to go out on, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just in the hopes that this something might be, or this out. Might yep. be connected in some way.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So then Joe goes to drive by, what's his name, Gary? Gary's house, Detective Joe. And I think he was just going to scope it out. And mm-hmm. he's driving down the street.
And who happens to be outside?
Gary's out in the middle of the street.
Fucking Gary.
That they made eye contact. And Gary ran out to his car and was like, can I help you with something?
And well, he waved him over.
Yeah, he waved him down.
Yeah.
And then he was like, can I help you with something? And he's like, Joe was like, oh, I'm just looking, like, made up some bullshit. Like, I'm looking for a street, blah, 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 whatever. And Gary was like, oh, it's over there. And Joe said that he drove away, and he was like, never, ever, ever had I been looking for a suspect, and he came out to meet my car.
Yeah. Like, and he said that the whole time that he was driving, Joe said that the whole time he was driving away, Gary was just kept eye contact with his police car the whole time.
If you think about it, when a cop is around, tell me you don't avoid eye contact at all costs.
Yeah, I do.
All
contact.
It's that, it's nothing against cops, obviously. It's just that thing, like, I know I'm not doing anything wrong, but I'm going to try my damnedest to make it look like I'm not doing anything wrong. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he said that he went back to the police station and he told, like, the other detectives, like, what had happened. And they're like, what the fuck? And he's like, and in my mind, I was like, this is, like, again, a control freak. He's trying to take control of the situation. Yep. Instead of me coming to him, he's going to come to me and have a little bit of power in.
Dude, psychology is so dope. I love it.
What'd you say?
Sorry. Psychology is so dope. I love it.
Yeah.
So finally, Detective Jim Moser made a call to Gary and said, hey, do you think you could come down to the station? We have a few questions we'd like to ask you. And Gary immediately replies and says, well, I didn't really know Anita or Miss Molly.
But.
And Jim says, well, that's cute, but I didn't even mention them.
He didn't say that's cute.
No, he didn't say that's cute.
Stimpy, you idiot.
But, he definitely hadn't mentioned their names. It was just a simple, I got a few questions for you. Could you come down?
Well, that's like,
I don't know Anita or Miss Molly.
It's like, I didn't even mention them.
That's great. That's cute, but I kind of wish that was what he said.
Right? So they set a day and a time for Gary to come in and have a chit chat with him.
And so Gary, being the control freak that he is, mm-hmm. he decides to show up a day early.
Power move.
Yeah. So that inner control freak was not going to let the police dictate how he was going to be interviewed. Nope.
I wonder if in the interview he's asking the detectives questions.
Yeah. Oh, should I have my...
Gary was like, you know, I'm going to do it on my time. But this wasn't Detective Jim Moser's first rodeo.
No way.
So Jim was like, he told the secretary.
Oh, okay.
To tell Gary that he wasn't available and that he needed to come back the scheduled time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to take you right now. I'm busy.
Yeah.
And so that's what happened.
And I think at that point they were like fully aware that he had some control issues.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, we're going to push back. Like, we're not going to do this on his time. It's going to be, we're going to take the control back and it's going to be on our time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Easiest way to catch him slipping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when Gary came back for, you know, for the scheduled interview, a police officer is just taking his information. Gary starts talking like immediately. He says, yeah, that he was Miss Molly's client, but she didn't like being tied up, so he wouldn't tie her up.
And he's like, I've known her since, like, May or April. Like, he was volunteered all this information. Just
everything.
And the cop's like, oh, okay. He's like, that really sucks when they don't let you tie them up. Like, totally trying to.
Oh, my God.
And he was like,
He's disgusting.
Yeah.
So then Gary leaves. And then he comes back the next day.
And again, I think that was like a tactic.
Yeah, that's another control move.
Yeah, and they were like, we're going to bring him in, but he's not going to sit down with the detective. He's not going to sit down with anybody. And we're going to make him come back because he clearly likes talking about this. And we'll let him. And they said they could tell he had like a guilty conscience and he just wanted to talk about it. And they were like, okay.
That's what it is. They want him out. Low key, they want to brag about it. They just don't want to get caught.
Yep.
Yeah, I definitely think it was a guilty conscience.
Sometimes they do want to get caught. Who knows?
So when Gary, you know, comes back the next day, he finally spills all the beans. All the frijoles, the refried beans, the black beans. Are there white beans?
Yeah, there actually is.
Yes.
Oh.
Kidney beans.
Oh, yeah, the kidney beans. The black-eyed peas.
Dude, white beans are actually really good.
Oh, white bean chicken chili.
Yeah, white bean chicken chili is so good, man.
Oh my
Talk
God.
About a tangent.
Guys, we get off topic, okay, and everyone hates it. Please stop. All right, so basically what he said was that he went and picked her up, and she said she wanted to go on a drive. And then they wound up in that area. They wound up on his tailgate. She was giving him a blowjob, but it was taking too long for him, and he wasn't really feeling it. So he brought up the whole bondage deal.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, I'm claustrophobic. Like, I'm not into that. He said that she started freaking out, so he picked up that rock and he hit her in the head. He knocked her out. Then he had sex with her. And he said when he got off, which I don't know if that meant when he finished or when he just got off of her.
Oh,
I think he might have finished.
He realized that she wasn't breathing, and then the rest was just a blur.
Yeah. And then somewhere in between, he tied her. He actually tied her up.
Yeah.
Which tied he up never, her legs and
but he
her
never
feet.
Says.
Huh?
He never says that.
Oh, no, he doesn't.
No.
So.
Man. Dudes are weird, man. You killed somebody and then you smashed?
Yeah.
That's just. You smashed and then you smashed. Mm-hmm.
You smashed.
It was a double smash. Yeah. Smash Brothers.
I fucking hate you guys.
This is one of those things we get in trouble for.
Yep.
It's fine.
Okay, so after Gary confessed, police obtained a search warrant for his house. And there, they find over 900 bondage and strangulation.
Perfect.
Images.
Strangulation.
Gary Shane Abernathy pleads guilty to voluntary manslaughter, aggravated assault, and false imprisonment, and was sentenced to 40 years in prison.
I think it's eligible for parole in 20.
Why is it only 2020? Voluntary manslaughter?
2020?
No, in 20 years.
Oh, 20 years.
So 2025.
Why is it only voluntary manslaughter? That's like the least of the murder charges, isn't it? Obviously, first-degree murder is like premeditated, right?
Yes.
Isn't that like how it goes?
He picked her up with the sole intention of taking her out there to murder her.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know that he did that, but voluntary manslaughter just seems a little light. Like, to just kill wanton like that?
I think what they were trying to get at was that he did have all these control issues, and so when she started saying no,
he snapped.
Yeah, and he just went. It wasn't like Even the Detective Joe was like, I don't think he was a bad guy. Like, I don't think he was a monster. Like, he's like, you meet some people and you're like, that person's a monster. Like, he's like, I don't believe that this guy was a monster. I think that he went crazy and he did something really, really. Just I mean, even him. The fact that he blacked out shows that some sort of psychotic break happened there. If he blacked out. Because also, let's talk about that. Where this, again, is an African-American woman sex worker who's been murdered. So, yeah, maybe the charges were a little lighter just for that simple fact.
Yeah.
He's also a white male. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he had been in trouble before.
I don't think if you're getting into, like, hate crime, I don't think it's anything like
that. They're not going to try... What am I trying to say? It's not a hate crime, but they're not. They don't pursue
like the harshest penalty. And
yeah,
okay.
They're gonna try to get him. Also, you have to take into consideration you're gonna take this to trial. It's gonna be in front of a jury that's gonna go, well, she was a prostitute. So what?
Oh, that's a bummer, man.
Yeah.
And that sucks. Like, we've always said it here, too. It doesn't matter what you do in your fucking... What you gotta do to make your fucking money, like, that shouldn't make you any lesser of a person. To trivialize,
yeah.
Yeah.
Your life as a whole. Yeah. Just because you're a sex worker.
So, if you guys want to hear more about Detective Joe's story, you should go check out The Price of Duty on Oxygen. We actually got a lot of information from this case, for this case from there, because, again,
Price
we
have of a Duty? Mac and...
Huh? The Price of Duty.
Is it like a documentary?
It's like a show.
Oh. Yeah. Every episode is about
a different detective.
Yeah.
There was like no information beyond that show.
No, we tried Googling, tried looking for any sort of information outside of the show, and it wasn't really there. It was very
there's a lot of information about the show, but there wasn't any information about her specifically. Yeah. So,
go figure. Person of color,
sex worker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it really goes into his story involving this case and how he had a brother who was an addict, and he kept saying that it would make him, it made that whole situation with his brother made him look at this case differently. Like,
yeah,
he said that just because Miss Molly was a prostitute did not mean that's all that she was.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that didn't matter. Like, just, and I think if more of the police force looked at things that way, things would be a little bit different.
Yeah,
you know?
And more cases would be solved.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to sex worker or cases involving sex workers.
Yeah.
If anything, it says something to your tenacity, like the lengths that you're willing to go to not be homeless, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what he said, too. He's like, you know, she made a choice. She started doing something that helped her pay the bills. Mm-hmm. Like. Yeah. And there was no talk of her being a drug addict. Like, no. She, you know, and it was actually like a very, to me, from what it sounded like, it was a very, like, calm and organized, like, rant system she had going on. Mm-hmm. They had a room in the back.
Mm-hmm.
The Johns would show up. They would go to the back room. They would pair. They would leave. Yeah. And, like, that was, sometimes they'd pick her up. I almost feel like she was a little bit of an escort because there was, like, it sounded like stories where they would come pick her up, but they would go do something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Hey man, we need to legalize prostitution 100%. Like, oh my God, the fuck is it? All
these violent crimes would go away so quick if it was. Mm-hmm. So, and I think just the fact that, you know, he said that he graduated the police force, the police academy at 24. Within 5 years, he was a detective. And he was doing great things with his life, and his older brother died of an OD from his addiction. He was in and out of jail. He had to arrest him multiple times. Like, and you could tell, like, experiencing that made him, like, this is my brother and I love him. So I have to understand that if this could happen in my family, like, it's happening in other families too. And mm-hmm. we can't treat anybody differently by the way, you know, the things that happen in their life.
Dude, things like this are way more prominent than people give them credit for, you know what I mean? Like, shit like this is commonplace to the extent that they don't even realize.
Yeah.
Prostitution, drug abuse, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. I mean, I know, personally, a trans sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
I have multiple addicts in my life. Like, they're everywhere. And the problem is that people treat it like it's such a shameful thing.
Yeah.
And you don't talk about it. You hide it.
It's very taboo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, but that doesn't do any good. Mm-hmm. Like, no. So, yeah. So if you guys want to hear more about his story, he cries a lot, and it made me cry a little bit.
Seeing dudes cry makes me emotional a little bit.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, for some reason.
And then the other detective, Jim Mosier, was, like, talking about Joe, and he, like, started tearing up about it. I'm like,
oh, the God, brother. Why is
everybody crying?
Yeah. That was a very sad. Emotional subject to talk about.
Yeah.
The brother.
So.
Yeah. I think what's crazy is that, well, I'm going to talk about Gary now. Like, how does somebody get to that control freak? Like,
yeah, that's what I wanted to say earlier. Like, what happened in this motherfucker's life
that led him to this point? What happened? And then now, like, okay, you're a control freak. Mm-hmm. And then you're into bondage, mm-hmm. which I feel like is a double whammy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I feel like he was going to snap sooner or later.
I was about to say, yeah. You know, is it was inevitable that he's going to snap?
You know, especially because all of the fantasies that he had, and then now Miss Molly took him on, mm-hmm. you know, as a new client, and he's into bondage, but she isn't.
Yeah.
Like, there was something that was gonna go bad there.
Yeah.
Also makes me think, though, like, I feel like we're giving him a little too much credit, like saying this is too much out of his hands. Is it?
No, because at the end of the day, you make your own choices, but also...
Especially that choice. That's a choice.
Yeah.
The ultimate choice.
Yeah. But again, this might also be a person that goes, I'm with a sex worker, and she is nothing, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And she's going to tell me no. Mm. Who the fuck is she to tell me no? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a whole different... There's just not a whole lot of information. Like, we don't know more about him. I don't know about his upbringing. Maybe he had problems with women. I mean, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't excuse it, though.
No. Absolutely no excuse. But it would be nice to have it, like, explained a little bit more than just that, oh, I blacked out and I hit her in the head. Because maybe that wasn't even it at all. Maybe he did. And maybe part of the control was to say, I killed her. You know, that could have been a next step.
Yeah, like playing God, basically.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that's it, though, because, like, in his interview tapes, he's, like, crying. He keeps saying he's sorry. Like, he doesn't crying. Look like a monster.
No.
Like,
yeah, there's a difference between socio or psychopathic behavior and just caught in a fervor.
Yeah. You know, because of the way he was acting in his confession, he was, it seemed like, fuck. He really fucked up, you know, and he snapped, and maybe he really did black out, and because he was crying and kept saying he was sorry,
and I think, like, so quickly, like, he did tell on himself, so there was obviously some guilt there.
Oh, definitely.
Walked up to the cop car. Hey, what are you doing here?
Is this about Miss Molly?
Yeah.
I didn't know Anita or Miss Molly.
Oh no.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so.
I just really feel bad for... And I really feel bad for Miss Molly's son. Having to find out that way that his mom... And then also have to identify her body.
Yeah,
that's just horrible.
That's sad, man.
Yeah. That's horrible.
And I don't understand, like...
Imagine, too, if he didn't know that she was a prostitute. And he found out the old...
That's how he found out she was murdered. I just don't I honestly don't understand the violence with sex workers, because they're already there. They're already pretty much doing whatever it is that you want. So I don't know why you feel the need to beat on them. This case is different, obviously, because she told him no. But you were already dealing with Anita, who was letting you tie her up and telling you about times she was afraid for her life. So why wouldn't you, if that's what you were after, why wouldn't you just go
back to Anita? Like, why... I don't know. See, and I don't even know what happened at that situation where why Miss Molly took on Gary as a client.
Yeah.
Without, I don't know what happened.
Without it being legalized, with it being a crime, mm-hmm. and it's like kind of done under the table as it is right now, I feel like it attracts the people who are afraid to do this. Like, just hitting on somebody at a bar and taking them home, you know what I mean? Yeah. It attracts the more taboo, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Because, you know...
And thus makes it that much more dangerous. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, you're fine. Because a man, when he pays, he pays for whatever he wants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to a sex worker. And he expects you do that for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's paying you.
Yeah, there's that expectation.
So there's that expectation.
Yeah.
And it's also a power thing that has to deal with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And the, I can get my rocks off this way because... because this is an illegal activity that I'm doing right now, and mm-hmm. any other way I wouldn't be able to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This weird shit, this...
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say bondage is weird, but, like, the extreme bondage or whatever it is mm-hmm. that he's into.
Yeah. I just don't know why he just didn't stick with Anita.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Anita wasn't having it anymore.
I don't know. And then that just goes to show that there's something wrong with him, right? Because a normal person would be like, she'd be like, no, I'm not into that. And he'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to take you back. And I'm going to find someone else.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit you in the head with a 20-pound rock.
And kill you.
And I think he knocked her out. He had sex with her. And then he bashed her brains in after. And that's when he blacks out. That's what he won't talk about.
But there's something that he fucked her after.
That she was unconscious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, so that right there makes me think that it's not just a, oops, sorry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It
takes a certain type of person to bash somebody's fucking head in and then fuck them.
Yeah.
That's borderline necrophilia because he didn't know if she was dead at the point. Or I guess he could have.
Yeah.
Pretty easily, but still. Borderline necrophilia.
Yeah.
This whole situation is just very horrible.
Yeah, that's very sick.
Yeah.
And it's sad that...
I feel like we're giving him too much credit. Fuck this guy.
It's just sad that there's no other information. You know what I mean? Like, no one else talked about it. No one covered it. And I mean, again, I get it.
Hey, good on those cops, man.
Yeah.
That's a shining example right there.
I don't think we're giving him too much credit. It's just we're just looking at it on both sides
of
the spectrum. But
you're right.
He's a fuck boy. You know, he's a disgusting...
Hey, I take offense as a fuckboy.
Himself as a fuckboy.
Yeah, this guy's a monster, you know? Yeah. I mean...
I don't think he's a monster.
Nah, fuck that. He is. You knocked her unconscious with the 20...
I think he's an animal. I don't think he's a monster.
Nah, fuck this guy. Fuck this guy.
He is an animal.
Obviously, fuck this guy, but especially fuck this guy.
Oh. I don't know.
Okay.
I have nothing else to say.
So are we done with our conversation? Little game.
Let's preface this game with my dating update.
I'm so glad I don't have to come up with these anymore.
We're going to... Because you don't.
Be trusted with them. Yeah,
not that I ever really did.
We give you that one job and you can't even fulfill that.
So listen, you just show up and be the drunk idiot and we'll do the rest.
First of all, every time I came up with the fucking segment, it will get shot down.
Not true. And then you came up with two segments on your own. And then the rest of the times you said that exact argument.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh.
Two segments I actually succeeded on. All the other ones were shot down.
So we're going to talk about Justine's dating story.
My dating update.
Then we're going to hit the segments. Then we're going to hit reviews. And then we're going to...
Oh, it's a real life stranger danger.
And this.
Not that the other ones weren't.
I'm not going to dive too much into this because... Yeah, fuck him. But I went on a one date with a dude. Went out on a second date. He invited me back to his house to watch a movie, which maybe is code for let's have sex.
Obviously. There's a reason the term Netflix and chill.
We're watching Netflix. Also, whatever. There's backstory.
What else were you going to do? Make enchiladas?
Oh, shit. Ooh. Yeah. We're going to chop some onions and make some enchiladas.
Oh, man. That cheese and onions, dude.
No, but before we went, I was like, look, we'll go, but I'm not going to hook up with you.
Mm-hmm.
Just letting you know. And I'm not saying it to be cute, like I'm not going to hook up with you. No, it's fine. It's fine. Just come hang out. So get there, instantly on me, like white on rice, on top of me. I was not into it. I was like, no. I was there for how long? Maybe a half hour? 20 minutes?
15 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. FYI, I texted Brittany his license plate, his address, the make and model of his car, his phone number.
I was there.
Yeah.
Gave me his name.
Just in case something went wonky.
You're lucky he didn't have a power fantasy and wasn't into bondage.
I know.
Yep.
Because you'd be Miss Molly right now.
And he was a big motherfucker. So anyways, I left. He threw a fucking tantrum. Like a little baby.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I gotta go. Why? I'm tired. Like, I just gotta go home. And then, like, barely got up to walk me to the door. And then shut the door on me, pretty much. And left me out in the dark courtyard
for me to find my own way.
Oh my God. I was like,
oh, okay, bye. But I would just like to PSA right now that just because you go on two dates with someone, you buy them a couple drinks, does not mean that I owe you sex in any way, shape, or form. And I told him multiple times, you're going too fast, like, slow it down. I'm not, relax, 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 relax. And if I'm telling you that multiple times, listen to it and let that be that. Yeah. And then when I leave, because you won't listen, the last thing he said to me, you want me to show you upstairs?
After you were just saying no.
Yeah.
Like, stop groping on me.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And then I left. But it's like,
I couldn't imagine going on a date or two dates and just thinking I'm entitled to pussy at that point.
Yeah.
It's just two dates. That's it.
Yeah. You are not entitled to pussy ever.
Why don't you go to a bar at that point and just... I figured that if you're gonna think you're entitled to pussy, go to a bar and just hit on random people. Then maybe not even then are you entitled to pussy. No. But that's the more likely scenario. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And the thing is, I'm no prude. I'm not prim and proper. I do hoary things all the time. But I just like I'm an adult. I make my own choices. Like, and if I want to do something, I'm gonna do it. I did not want to do this, so I would like to not do it. And I don't think that I need to be pressured. And I haven't heard from him since then. When he was texting me, like, nonstop, so he's real butthurt.
Give it, like, a week, and he's going to give you the I'm sorry text.
No, I'm blocking
him. No, I told him. Yeah, I told you. So. I'm like, don't even talk to him anymore.
Scam likely.
Yeah, so I just want to, like, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Don't pressure anybody. Also, again, guys, with the social cues, if you're grabbing on me and I'm pushing and pulling away from you, take that for that. It's not a chase.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to pull me closer.
Yeah.
I've never.
And it's like, if I tell you, if I go to your house, I'm not going to sleep with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me. There's no underlying, you know, thing to that where I'm like, where I'm playing hard to get.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, I'm not going to sleep with you, but really I am. Yeah. There's no. When I say I'm not going to sleep with you, I'm not going to sleep with you.
Yeah.
But I think guys think that we're like that, or that most women are like, I don't know. It's
always like playing games.
Yeah, like playing games. Yeah, like playing mind games.
Listen, I went on a date once, and he's like, let's go back to my house and watch movies. And in my mind, I was like, we're not watching movies. And I never said, like, no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to do you, is what I said. And then,
Netflix and chill, tight.
If only it was that easy, dude.
I just got there and took all my clothes off.
Sweet. I don't get it when dudes want to force themselves onto girls,
because
I feel like if they're not down, that kills it for me.
Yeah, it's not fun. He was like kissing on me. I'm like rolling my eyes. I'm like, ugh, get me out of here.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
If they're not down, it just that's a boner killer.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Also, I told him about this podcast, so he might listen to this.
Uh-oh. Well, whatever.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. All right.
We get a weird review.
So we're So now we're going to jump into our segment. I sent both of you guys the links.
Oh, yes, you did. Scott, are you sober enough to open a link?
Yes.
Perfect.
These are just 17 most talked about questions on OkCupid.
Okay. So okay. These are dating questions.
Yeah. So we can ask whatever question you want to whomever. All right, so we have 17 questions. Well, we might 17 total, so we're going to pick and choose. We might save some for a rainy day and whatnot, whatever.
We'll see.
Yeah. Okay, so Scott, do you want to start with the first? We're all going to answer one of these questions.
Yeah, so you just read the first one.
Okay. What should be done with your body after you die?
I want to be cremated.
I want to be cremated and put into a plant as a tree.
Yeah, cremated. No embalming. No. I'm not trying to fucking stay around forever.
That scares me. I don't want to be kept in a box. Nobody put me in a vial. Release me into the nature.
Yeah.
You want me to just toss you up into the air?
Just see where I land, you know?
Shit, don't even cremate me. Just literally put me in the ground.
Okay, no box.
Like in the backyard?
Yeah. I'm going to decompose, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Maybe you can grow some good vegetables.
Would you ever correct your partner for seriously misusing or mispronouncing a word?
Happens
all the time.
100%. Learn your fucking language.
All right. Breast implants. Are they cool or pathetic?
Pathetic's a little harsh.
Yeah, I wouldn't say pathetic at all. But
I like real titties. Real titties are way better than fake titties. But I get why a girl would get fake tits. Yeah. Like if you're uncomfortable in your own skin or you just want bigger tits, like I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm a real titty guy all day.
I couldn't do it because it scares me.
It scares me too. When I was younger, I wanted them, but then no. First of all, it's expensive.
Yeah, and I'd rather spend that money in other places. Like, I'm going to need some Botox.
And it's risky. Yeah. You might get a shitty boob job, dude.
Yeah, and that happens.
You got to spend real fucking money. Yeah, I just don't like how I don't want to talk shit about it. Because some girls get solid boob jobs. Like, look at Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
She got her boobs done?
I think they all did.
Yeah, I think they all did, yeah.
Oh, I thought I knew
not Chloe. Yeah.
Chloe's got fake tits.
Does she?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
The only one that doesn't have them is Kendall. Kendall's all natural.
Stay that way.
Kylie's got
itty bitty titty committee.
All the work done.
Yeah, yeah. Hashtag. Okay.
Your turn, Scotty.
This are is to you
yourself, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you annoying?
Yes.
Yeah, I could definitely see myself as being annoying. 100%.
I think everybody has the potential to be annoying.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, what do I do that's annoying? Lots of things.
If you don't answer yes to that, you're a fucking liar. Either that, or you're a stale chip.
Next question.
Is it okay to answer your cell phone while out with a friend or on a date?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's...
It depends on the call.
Yeah. If you know the call is going to be a long call...
Oh, yeah, don't answer that.
Don't answer it. Yeah. But if it's going to be a short, like, what's up? Okay, do this and this.
If
and
you're
then,
just sitting there shooting the shit while we're out at dinner or out at a bar, that's insensitive.
Yeah. I don't like being, like, hanging out with someone, like, at lunch or whatever, and they're just constantly on their phone.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, even well, then.
Texting, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, either, like, anything, you know? It's just like, okay, well, what the hell?
Yeah, but if my pops is going to call, I just got to make sure he's okay.
Well, yeah.
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 So, I mean, you clearly know when it's acceptable to answer and when it's not.
Yeah.
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 Hey, some people don't. Just I know a couple people.
Okay. We're going to part two.
Which is sex questions.
Sex questions. So that part one was personal opinions. Now we're moving on to sex.
Okay.
Is it generally acceptable to you for a sex partner to initiate foreplay while you are sleeping?
Whoa.
What the fuck?
If they're your wife or husband, sure. But outside of that, I don't know.
I think it's fine, but like if your partner's
like stop, yeah, I'm sleeping. Stop. Then don't pursue it any further. Yeah. I agree with Justine.
I don't know. That's a little dicey, huh?
If they're a sex partner, like a
sexual partner,
yeah, a sexual
you're
partner,
having sex, like,
yeah,
fucking leave me alone, though.
But I mean, sometimes people want to be spontaneous, and
sometimes
so
it's nice getting woken up to a little bit of
a little bit of action, right? Yeah.
I guess I don't know.
Okay, moving on.
All right, is it okay for a married person to play around with someone with the permission of their spouse? Yeah, the permission from their spouse.
Yeah.
I think that it does open up the gates for, like, a lot of issues.
With
but,
the permission of their spouse?
Yeah. I mean, if it's with the permission of their spouse,
I'm not.
Do whatever you want to do.
True, but that just is opening an argument that I don't feel like having.
Well, yeah, between you two. But some people go into a marriage going, look, this is fun, but I'm going to need some fun from someone else every once in a while.
Sometimes people want to... Have fun with another person.
The person is.
It depends. I mean, it's obviously a case by case.
Yeah.
Or a relationship by relationship thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Everybody's different.
Yeah, that's true.
Every couple is different. So.
But I will say, like, a lot of times, like, one member of the relationship will get more action than the other one. And then
the other person
will
get jealous.
Thing.
Yeah, that does happen.
So
sometimes.
Be careful.
Yeah.
But live your life.
Just be in a constant state of communication.
Can you imagine being two swingers and just talking shit? You're like... Yeah, I'm getting played all the time.
Sorry about you. It's your question to read, Scotty.
Could you date someone who loved you with all their heart and whom you liked a lot, but who was terrible in bed?
No.
No. That's 50% of it.
Yeah.
You have to fuck that person a lot.
First of all, they also say that who loved you with all their heart, but we only like them a lot. So no.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what?
They love you with all their heart, but you like them a lot.
Could you date them?
It kind of answers itself because you only like them a lot because they're terrible.
They're terrible and bad. Yeah.
That last thing you need to follow, but you're out.
Yeah, that would be such a bummer because that means you every time you're about to smash, you're just like, fuck, here we go.
Yeah. I don't think, sometimes it's just awkward.
You're going to have this motherfucker flopping around on top of me.
I feel like you got to do it a couple times, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You got to get that rhythm going. If you've been doing
it for a while, it's still bad. Bail out. Bail out.
Yeah, you better figure it out.
You better get your life. Okay, next question. Justine's favorite question. Would you ever consider having sex in a church?
Yes.
Yes. Justine's probably like, no.
No.
The more blasphemous, the better.
Am I boning the pastor?
What the?
What if I'm married to a pastor?
Have you ever seen a hot pastor?
Yeah, actually. Many.
Damn. All right, chill.
Just seems like it's like a pause. She's got to go into the.
You need to rethink restroom. Why you're going to church, Doug.
Yeah, no, probably not.
Okay.
Part three. Weird sex.
Oh, okay.
Dang.
This is Justine's special.
Oh, too. I like this question.
Oh, but is it my question?
Yes.
Would you ever sleep with a serial killer? Do I know he's a serial killer?
Yeah. Is it like unbeknownst?
I've probably already slept with a serial killer, and I'm just not aware of it.
Ooh, that's. I'm not gonna say anything about season bait.
That is easy.
Oh no!
She just Ten got it.
Oh no! Oh,
If I knew they were a serial killer, I don't think I could,
No, because I'd be afraid
I'd be afraid the whole time.
Yeah.
That I was gonna die. Like,
yeah. Although you could write a bomb ass book after that experience and make lots of money.
But girls like to get choked though, and I feel like
they're yeah, but I don't want to die. Like,
a little bit of danger goes a long way.
If I tap out, that means take your hand off, not keep going.
He's like, tighter. Or you're just dead.
Yeah.
Wait, you're supposed to be a serial killer. This is not tight enough.
Okay, next question.
Hold on. Oh. I didn't answer.
Oh.
No, because there's never been a hot serial killer.
Eileen Wardos. That's a female. That's your girl, man.
Hell no. Hard pass.
Okay, next question. You've been chatting with someone and are hitting it off. They send you nude pics of them of themselves. What's your reaction?
I've never met this person.
Well, you've been chatting with someone, but you've never, I guess you've never.
I don't think you've ever met them.
But you're hitting it off and they send you nude pics.
I'm going to hit them with a thanks.
What's your reaction?
No reaction. I stop responding.
Yes, but dude nudes are whack. Nobody wants a dude nude.
I don't want nudes. I don't get off on them. It's why?
Who wants to see a dick?
Right?
Dude, it was so funny. I was talking to this guy, and he was like, come over. And I'm like, nah, dude, like, I'm sick. Like, I don't feel good. It was fake. I just didn't feel like going over. Send me a dick pic. I'm like, you think that's going to cure my illness that I have? My fake illness that I have right now? No.
Yeah, what is that going to do for you?
Nothing.
Chick nudes are fucking dope. I get that. Because girls are easy to look at, but dudes are gross.
And I showed that picture to everyone, by the way.
You did.
If you're sending me a nude, everyone's gonna see it.
Yep.
That's how it should be. Unsolicited nudes.
You've been forewarned.
Yeah.
Okay, Justine.
Okay. If a trusted partner asks you to submit to them sexually, would you? Assume that this would involve letting them collar you, command you, and have control over you during sex. This is a partner that you trust in. Not if that's disrespectful. I don't want to put a fucking collar on.
Assuming that would involve I don't want letting collar them on collar you?
I don't want a collar on me.
Pass. I don't want a collar. Like, I'll submit.
He's like, Brittany, put this fucking collar. Or you put a collar on, walk around. She gets one of those leashes with three leads. Ties you puts it out to together. I'm just not into that. But if you are, you know, live your life.
Yeah, I'll submit. Like, you can give me a little smack here and there. I'll be on the bottom, but don't fucking put a collar on me.
This is a little bit disrespectful.
Suppose you're dating someone who seems to have long-term potential. You discover that they want to urinate on you during sex. Would you consider staying with this person? Hell no. Fuck pee, fuck shit. I ain't down with that.
You've peed on me. in a non-sexual way.
Yeah.
But
in the pool.
Yeah, I didn't have a boner whilst doing so, you know what I mean?
I don't think you get to judge so harshly. I mean, at this point in my life, I might just accept the pee-pee, you know? What are my other options?
No, hell no.
Have long-term potential. So that means, like...
Meaning you're going to get peed on for the rest of your life.
Oh, well, that's true, too.
This isn't going to be... It's not a one-time deal.
Maybe it's like a one-birthday thing, you know, though? Like, no. I'll let you do that on your birthday.
No. Hell no. No way. I'll throw up.
We have to be in the tub.
Fuck that.
I feel like if you want to pee on someone, you're just like, that's your thing now. You're a pee master.
Yeah. That's also a little bit disrespectful.
Have someone pee on you?
I'm not going to be a urinal for somebody.
I mean, if you're into that... Go for it.
Yeah, yeah, by all means. I just ain't.
I don't want to get peed on. He pees on me in the shower.
I don't want to get peed on, but like I said, at this point in my life, what are my options?
You take what you can get. It's
like long-term potential. I just got to do it. Just got to get peed on. It's fine.
All right.
Would you get shit on?
Hell no.
That's fucking disgusting. I want to see how far this will go.
No.
What is that called? Scatting?
Yeah. Scat okay. Play.
Yeah.
You'll take a dump on somebody's chest.
Oh, okay. Last question. Uh-huh. While in the middle of the best love making of your life, if your lover asked you to squeal like a dolphin, would you? What does a dolphin squeal like?
I would feel so ridiculous.
It would make me laugh and it would take me out of the
yeah.
moment.
Yeah, and then I'd
no
be done.
Longer be the best love making yeah. of my life.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. There's no way. I would laugh so hard
no way,
at my dude. Attempt to try to... Ee!
No.
Especially as a dude. Like, you gotta maintain a boner. And go, all of a sudden... No way.
And then I'd have questions. You like, know have what you I ever wonder- fucked a dolphin before? Like, have you been fucked by a dolphin?
You know what I wonder? If there's a guy out there that when he comes, he makes that sound.
Oh, God. Don't worry, guys. I'll probably date him.
I feel like that's a stranger danger for
I
sure.
I like how Justine says no to a 6'5 dude that wants a Netflix and chill, yet yeah. she's willing to get peed on and squeal like a dolphin.
He didn't have long-term potential. Also, he was real sweaty, and it was real gross.
You didn't want to make him more sweaty?
I don't want to sweat. I'll take pee, though.
Gross.
Christ.
What is going on in this world? Okay, so that was the end of our segment.
We got to do reviews.
All right.
So we have quite a few.
Yeah.
So we're going to go through them real fast.
Ghosting.
Go speed lightning.
Ooh.
Oh, by the way, I talked to Callie U up here.
Uh-huh.
She's like, it's just Callie W.
Oh. So
I told you didn't need to overcomplicate things.
Whatever. That's why I said Callie W or Callie U.
Well, it was just Callie W. Mm. Hey, look at the bird on my balcony.
Justine, go.
All right. We have a 5-star review from Ellie Belly 610, titled Yes.
No.
I'm sorry. Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm not really a yes kind of girl, but whatever. First, it's hilarious. Second, it's informative. As the pastiest white true fan addict, I appreciate seeing stories that are well-researched and not ones I've heard 526 times in other podcasts. Thank you for being such a gem to listen to. OPS, I love that it ends on a fun game. You ladies and the guy who's sporadically there, rock.
A.K.A. Scott. Next is from Paige Schwert. 5 stars, titled... 10-10.
There we go.
These two, and Scott, are awesome. I always get nervous about new true crime podcasts, but I love how they don't filter what they say and keep it real. Highly recommended.
Thank you. Next up, we have one from Ellie Watts, titled, Like My Friends Are Telling Me... Got cut off. These girls are the shiznat. I just started to listen, and I have been binging the Stranger Dangers. Even submitted one of my own. If you want to laugh, learn, and maybe spit out your beer, coffee, beverage while you listen, do it. Subscribe and enjoy. B&J forever. Oh, and Scott sometimes.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you. Next is Big Bear 53. 5 stars. Great show. That's what the title is. Great show. I've been binging you guys' podcast for, like, the past week, and I'm addicted. You guys are the best, and I love the cases you guys discuss.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
We genuinely appreciate it.
Yes. Next up, we have a 4-star, which I'll allow. Oh, hey, it's Jess123. Titled, Love This Podcast. I just found this podcast yesterday, and I'm already a huge fan. Can't wait to binge listen to all the episodes. And after you do, we'll let you change that to a 5-star.
Hey, I'll take a 4-star.
4-star is understandable in the early eps.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Last one is from Strat Mom.
Hey.
Hey. 5-stars titled, You Gals Crack Me Up. My new obsession is true crime podcasts, and you gals top my list.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, thank you.
We have one from Norway. Hold on. Let me pull it up.
Oh, nice.
Norway.
Norway. I think it was Norway. Sorry. That might be a...
Moment pause?
No, it's here.
Okay.
It is from Norway. Dang, sometimes.
Way to go, Justine.
Titled, Love This Podcast by Nora...
Jones.
Nora... Gaffardi. I don't know, girl. I tried.
At least you tried.
Great podcast. Love that they're focusing on POC, which I've missed from other true crime podcasts. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All the way from Norway.
Nora from Norway.
Thank you.
Yeah, so thanks everybody for your reviews.
Keep them coming.
Yeah, you guys want to help us? That is the best way you can do it.
Mm-hmm. And if you would like to follow us, you can do so on Facebook and Instagram at It's About Damn Crime. Run it together. Space it out. We is there.
Everywhere.
We are on Twitter and Snapchat at IADC Podcast.
Guys, we flip-flop weeks on Snapchat. I know sometimes it's very confusing, but, you know, whatever. Just ask us who we are and we'll tell you.
Yeah.
You won't be offended.
Usually I remember, like, when I take it on the Mondays.
To, like, post something will post related something. To you.
Yeah. I will post, like, hey, it's me again.
It's me, snitches.
Oh, my God.
All right.
That second shot of tequila's kicking in.
Yeah. We gotta go now. Abort. All right. If you guys want to send us your stranger dangers... You can do so at where to see.
It's about damncrime at gmail.com. Or you can visit the website.
Yeah. Submit
the Stranger Danger form.
Yeah, and what's the website?
Didn't you just say?
No.
Oh, it's about damncrime at gmail.com.
.gmail.com.
No.
It's about damncrime.com.
So
I'll set it again.
They're at our website. Our Patreon link is there. Our merch link is there. All the links are there. The Stranger Danger form, like Justine said, is there. Fill that nifty form out if you want to remain anonymous. You can do so. All right. Is that it for this episode?
I think so.
Justine,
mm-hmm.
Remember,
uh-huh.
There's a lot of desert out there.
That's where you're going to get buried when 6'5 homie ends up having his way.
I'm going to say that to all the sweaty guys out there.
You're going to pick up a 20-pound rug.
Oh my goodness. Okay, we got to go.
Oh, my God. That could have been me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love you guys. Okay, see you next time.
I do sex for free. Okay, bye.
Wow, I was going to say something, but nothing's going to top that.
Bye.